Well, you brought us through a week of ups and downs and tension and stress. And yet, Lord, here we are today to give you glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for it, Father. For you are truly our sustainer of life, and you've given it to us abundantly. So today, Father, we thank you for this time that we gather together as your children to hear your word and to become not only hearers but doers of what we have heard. Father, thank you for the love that you've shown each and every one of us in times when we didn't feel that we were lovable. But yet, Lord, you have loved us and you have cared for us and you have provided for us. And we're so grateful, Father. Thank you for all that you have done and all you continue to do in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those that are going to call in or have intentions to call in but may not be able to, Father, would you please shield and protect them as well? Bless them today, Father. Grant them favor as you've granted us and continue to keep our eyes on you, Jesus, so that we will understand what has taken place. Give us a deepening of your wisdom and your knowledge. Help us to have a spirit of discernment to know the difference. Lord, we thank you today, Father. We thank you for all that you're going to do. And Lord, we open our hearts and mind to you. We say, Father, please forgive us of anything that we've done that has grieved your spirit, anything that is holding your will from being done in our lives. We surrender it to you right now today. And Lord, I pray that you bless Jeanette. Remove Jeanette from Jeanette and allow your Holy Spirit to speak through her. Bind up any strongholds that may be hindering us from doing or hearing from you today, Father God. Will you please do that today, Lord? We ask to get all in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to be continue where we were with Joseph, but we're going to do a quick recap. What we're doing is we're going through the sons of Jacob. And we started with Reuben, who was the oldest. And we went on to the next son in line, Simeon, Levi, then Judah. And we're getting to know them because every one of them, their lives have a message for us. So I wanted to, you know, just move on to all of one woman's children, then do the other woman's children, and so on and so forth. But instead, the Lord said to go in the order that these sons were born.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. So we're on Joseph, and Joseph has a very almost tumultuous story, if you're asking me. His life started out with promise. And I guess I'm going to say that's probably was a very sustaining factor in his life. But his life starts out with promise, and it goes directly from promise into trial and hardship and disappointment and betrayal. I want to emphasize that sometimes when the Lord is working in our lives, when we've surrendered to him, or when we were called by him, as he says in Romans, that we were called. We were called even before we were born. He already knew who his elect were, for whom he did foreknow. He knew us from the beginning before we were even conceived. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. In other words, he had your path already laid out.
Praise God.
Well, Joseph, this is the said case. Jacob is not a, Israel is not a surprise to God, which we talked about is Israel, Jacob. Jacob and Israel are one and the same, synonymous, different names, same man. So Jacob has these sons, and even though Jacob has promised, one of his sons is selected. I'm going to say this on this call because I think that maybe some of you have experienced it. sometimes you're born into a family and you're the one.
Well, yeah.
Some of you are born into an earthly family, but you're the one. The one that who? That he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son.
Yes, Lord.
In other words, your whole, you may be born into a family that halfway knows God or doesn't know God at all, but you're the one that is called to lead them out of bondage.
Mm-hmm.
What was Joseph's purpose? Was to lead his family, not just save the world, but lead his family out of a situation of peril. God has already selected those people. And what happens? You'll have one person in the family that is saved and that God is operating through. And that person eventually becomes the person that is an example to the rest of that family. God chooses people. And sometimes when you're chosen, your path has been harder, not easier, than others. And we see it over and over. Jesus was chosen, sent by his Father, and yet his path was as hard as it gets. Joseph is chosen, and his path is riddled with hardship from the time of his promise, just about. No sooner did he get an encouraging word from God that I'm with you, and this is how the story ends, that his life turns into peril and suffering and disappointment and betrayal.
Reminding me of how Jesus, when the Holy Spirit descended upon him, he was taken into the desert.
Exactly. No sooner did the promise of the Spirit of God descend on Jesus, than he's taken, as Richard said, right into the wilderness. And what happens in the wilderness is the temptation.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a pattern. And I guess one of the reasons God gives us promises, because we need to hold on to the hope or the vision or whatever it is that God has given you. You hold on to it because it's the only thing that helps you know there's a hole to get out of this at the other end. If you're going through a forest or you're going through a tunnel and it looks like it'll never end, but if you know, actually know it does end and there's definitely an opening at the other end, you'll keep going forward. Otherwise, we can become so discouraged that we stop.
Amen.
What we see with Joseph is that his faith continued. Joseph's faith continued. Don't tell me it wasn't challenged because I'll never believe it. I believe it was challenged right away. I believe that the fear and despair that we read about last week, the anguish is beyond this is upsetting. Anguish is a word used when it's beyond that. It's almost like just short of unto death. And they saw the anguish on Joseph's face when they were throwing him into this pit. Didn't line up with my brothers are going to bow down before me. And you know what? Just like when I believe Satan got all these Jews worked up to crucify our Lord, and they believed if they could kill the Son, they would do away with having to serve even be subject to the Father anymore. Jesus gives the parable in the vineyard where the one over the entire vineyard keeps sending different, you know, overseers, and they keep killing them, which Jesus later explains that was the prophets who they killed. And then finally the father says, well, I'll send my son. And what did they say on earth? Well, if we get rid of him. Mm-hmm. We'll have dominion. I believe Satan believed that. I believe that Satan thought he was really killing Jesus. If he knew that killing Jesus was going to create what it's created today against his kingdom, doubt that he'd have done that. He'd have found some kind of other scheme. But he didn't seem to understand that killing Jesus, that Jesus was going to rise again and then spread all over the place. He didn't seem to understand that. So we see that the brothers, in the same way, figure they're getting rid of the dreamer and his dreams. Mm-hmm. We're going to throw Joseph in this ditch, and we're never going to have to see him again. Mm-hmm. And as for his dreams, us bowing down to him, we're never going to see this dude again. So much for you and your dreams. In other words, so much for you and the prophecy. But little did they know that they were falling right into the plan God had already set for Joseph. But Joseph has a part to play too. Joseph has to remain steadfast. He has to continue in integrity. He has to keep reminding people that he is a child of God. No matter what circumstances he found himself in, he did not neglect to give God the praise.
Yeah.
Even the baker, even the cupbearer.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but I know someone who does. I can't interpret dreams, but I know someone who does. Paraphrasing. It is not me, it is God.
Mm-hmm.
When he got before Pharaoh, what did he do? Immediately, again, he gave the praise to God. It's not me, but tell me your dream. What an introduction of Joseph's God to Pharaoh. Let me put it like this. He just infected all of Egypt. Because he was willing to open his mouth and give God the glory. So now we're going to go to where we are. We're in the brothers return with Benjamin. We're going to seal this up. This is chapter 43 of Genesis. And I don't think we finished. This is why I saw his brother Benjamin. Okay. And we're going to start from verse
1.
No, we read most of that. So the men took this. Oh, yeah, we'll start, I think, it's verse 1. Okay, we'll go from there. We're backtracking a little bit, but we'll get where we're going. Okay, who will read for us today?
Alexandra will read today. My pleasure. Quick question. Did you say 43, chapter 43,
yes.
Verse 1?
Yes.
Okie dokie, here we go. And I'm in the NIV. Now the famine was still severe in the land. So when they had eaten all the gain they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go back and buy us a little more food." But Judah said to him, "The man warned us solemnly, 'You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you. If you will send our brother along with us, we will go down and buy food for you. But if you will not send him, we will not go down, because the man said to us, You will not see my face again unless your brother is with you.'" Israel asked, "Why did you bring this trouble on me by telling the man you had another brother?" They replied, "The man questioned us closely about ourselves and our family. 'Is your father still living?' he asked us. 'Do you have another brother?' We simply answered his questions. How were we to know he would say, 'Bring your brother down here'?" Then Judah said to Israel, his father, "Send the boy along with me, and we will go at once, so that we and you and our children may live and not die. I myself will guarantee his safety. You can hold me personally responsible for him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him here before you, I will bear the blame before you, all my family. As it is, if we had not delayed, we could have gone and returned twice. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift. A little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds.
Mm.
Take double the amount of silver with you, for you must return the silver that was put back into the mouths of your sacks. Perhaps it was a mistake. Take your brother also and go back to the man at once. And may God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, so that he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. As for me, if I am bereaved, I am bereaved. So the men took the gifts and doubled the amount of silver, and Benjamin also. They hurried down to Egypt and presented themselves to Joseph. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the steward of his house, take these men to my house. Slaughter an animal and prepare a meal. They are to eat with me at noon. The man did as Joseph told him and took the men to Joseph's house. Now the men were frightened when they were taken to his house. They thought, we were brought here because of the silver that was put back into our sacks the first time. He wants to attack us and overpower us and seize us as slaves and take our donkeys. So they went up to Joseph's steward and spoke to him at the entrance to the house. We beg your pardon, our lord, they said. We came down here the first time to buy food. But at that place where we stopped for the night, we opened our sacks and each of us found his silver, the exact weight in the mouth of his sack. So we have brought it back with us. We have also brought additional silver with us to buy food. We don't know who put our silver in our sacks. It's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your father, has given you treasure in your sacks. I received your silver. Then he brought Simeon out to them. The steward took...
Stop for a sec.
Sure.
So we see what's going on here, and we see that... they try to get ahead of the problem. When you are already afraid or dealing with guilt, and you know that you have punishment coming, every assumption that you're making is going to be negative because you're living with the weight of the reality that we're going to call it karma. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, is on its way and on your heels. For some of us, I have seen where just the weight of waiting for what you deserve to come has been the person's punishment. Has anybody ever seen that?
Mm.
Where a person does something and they live with it all of their life.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, well, where's the karma? I mean, whatever you did, that's going to come right back to you. The weight of expecting it all of your life is the punishment for some.
Hmm. Woo.
They're always looking over their shoulder, always expecting that I'm going to have to pay. And why is that? It's because even those who do not know to call on the name of the Lord, there's an innate part of us that when God placed in the heart of every man good and evil, not placed good and evil, but the knowledge of good and evil, with that also comes a consciousness that surpasses our understanding. You know how the adversary can trick you into doing, I'm going to say trick, sometimes entice is a better word. He can entice you into doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems so great. And don't tell me you have an experience that the minute you did it and you stepped over that line, then you were gripped with fear and regret.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's how he works. From one side of the line, it looks like, what a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I will be so happy if I do this. I can get away with this. I know that this is not what God says in his word, but you know what? I'm going to take my chances.
Hmm.
God's a forgiving God. But as soon as you turn and you take that step over the line, you realize, oh, what have I done? Maybe not such a good idea after all. And then the weight of, oh boy, this is coming. This is coming.
Right.
Sometimes it's something that you said on somebody baited you into something on your job and you said something you shouldn't have said about somebody else or your supervisor or whoever, whatever. And then as soon as it came out of your mouth, uh-oh. What if this person, you know, a person takes a bone, they'll carry a bone. Person takes a bone, they'll carry a bone. So what if they take this right back to and repeat it? Sometimes it's something minuscule. Sometimes it's something great. In these guys' case, it was great. They had essentially, in their mind, sold their brother into slavery, which might as well have been murder. So they're looking over their shoulders all their lives. Everything that's going on there, and their father, they know that their father senses, you guys had something to do with this. I don't believe the wild animal story. You had something to do with it. Don't know what, can't pinpoint it. But you know. So he says, don't fear. Your God has put your money in your sacks. Is that a little bit of an odd answer?
Yes.
I find that to be an odd answer coming from this steward. But don't worry, God has given you your money back. And then he brings out Simeon to them, who, you know, had been incarcerated the whole time. This wasn't, you know, a few days. He was incarcerated the entire time that the other nine had to return without him. And they stayed there in Canaan as long as they possibly could until Judah says, please, Dad, you're going to have to send Benjamin or we're all going to die. So that's quite a bit of time that passes while Simeon is sitting in jail. Simeon, the oldest of the 14-year-old and the 13-year-old, he was the oldest and most likely the one who incited the murder on all those people. And we talked about Simeon, so I won't go over it again. I bet you Simeon's thinking about all of that while he's sitting there incarcerated. Okay, keep going.
Chapter 24. The steward took the men into Joseph's house, gave them water to wash their feet, and provided fodder for their donkeys. They prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. When Joseph came home, they presented him with the gifts they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. He asked them how they were, and then he said, how is your aged father you told me about? Is he still living? They replied, your servant our father is still alive and well. And they bowed down, prostrating themselves before him. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, he asked, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room.
I want to point something else out here. Remember that Joseph marries the son of a priest, you know, high-ranking person. Some believe it was Potiphar's daughter, not Pharaoh's daughter, but Potiphar's daughter, is given to him when he is made prince over Egypt. And he has two sons. Does anybody, and one of the sons' name is Manasseh, the other one's name is Ephraim. Does anybody remember what Manasseh means? Manasseh means God has helped me to forget.
Wow.
Forget what his family had done to him. And then Ephraim means he helped me to prosper. I want you to see something here. Do you know that it sounds to me, when you put the pieces together, Joseph had let the dream go. Joseph had let the dream go. He made it out of prison. He had gone through so much between Potiphar's wife and prison that when he finally is let out, he's offered a good life.
Mm-hmm.
He's offered a wife. He has two healthy children, sons. And he names the first one, God has helped me to forget.
Mm.
Wow. That speaks volumes. I want to say something, that sometimes God's time is so different from our time that we just kind of give up. He's given Joseph a promise that one day his brothers are going to bow down before him. But he's saying, I'm naming my son. Thank you for helping me forget.
Mm.
And then I'm going to name my other son. Thank you for the prosperity. And there's never a word about Joseph ever going back to Canaan to see his people. But is that not just like God?
Mm-hmm.
When we give up, when we give up looking for your promise, looking for the blessing, and I'm not saying don't believe God. I believe that Joseph did believe God. But we're now 20 years down the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
He's come out after 13 years of incarceration, 7 more years of plenty where he's doing his job, and now there's famine in the land, but he is blessed with a wife. He's blessed with position, security. But look where he is. Look at what, I don't know if you're feeling what I'm getting at. It's sometimes when we finally give up is the very time that the ship is coming in.
Yep.
The ship is coming into the harbor. We take that one last look over the ocean. It doesn't look like there's anything out there. Oh, but God's word will come to fruition. The promises he's made you, I want to encourage you, if he's given you promises, he will keep them.
Amen.
Even if you say, you know what? I don't even think about it anymore.
Right.
I had those dreams. Whatever. God gave them to me. I believe you, God. I'm going to worship you and serve you even though you haven't answered that vision you gave me.
Hmm.
I'm going to serve you anyway. I'm going to do the right thing anyway. I'm going to give you all praise anyway.
Hmm.
But as far as that dream you gave me about my brothers and my dad all back, you know what? I don't even think about it anymore. And I'm thankful. I'm grateful, Lord,
amen,
that you've helped me forget.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God will give you a vision or a promise or a dream, and you know it's from him, and you know it's a promise, but it's so far out there. But God keeps his word.
Yes, he does.
He keeps his word, and now all of a sudden, what? Not only did my brothers come, and I recognized them, they didn't recognize me, and they bowed down before me like, is this the dream coming to pass? Could this be what I saw that after naming my son, thank God I forgot all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because now he's ready.
Right.
Now he's ready. He's been pruned and primed and humbled and became a tool in the master's hand.
Say that.
Now he can be used. Well, now that he can be used, he's not looking for all that. He's doing what he's supposed to do in a righteous way.
Yes.
He's serving the Pharaoh in a righteous way.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes in the ship. And they brought back the brother. So Joseph had to turn away
Mm-hmm.
So they would not see him, the brokenness. Imagine the joy that was filling his heart, and imagine the emotion running through him as he saw Benjamin. Uncontainable. This is the very thing God said he didn't disappoint. Sometimes I'm saying we have to stay on the road long enough, and if we do, you will see God fulfill his promises to you. Okay, keep going, please.
He went into his private room and wept. Verse 31. After he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said, "Serve the food." They served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to Egyptians. The men had been seated before him in the order of their ages, from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. When portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was five times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him.
It was funny to me.
Wow.
It's kind of interesting. It was an abomination, as we talked about a couple of Bible studies ago, for Egyptians and Hebrews to eat at the same table.
Wow.
In other words, you know, we don't mingle with the help.
Right.
And yet Joseph, having been given the highest offer in the land, is still the help.
Wow.
I just find that amazing. He himself still doesn't eat with Egyptians. He didn't eat with them in Potiphar's house. That's why Potiphar said, "I've given you everything. I mean, I've withheld nothing of my household from you, but the bread." Bread meaning, I can't eat with you. You know that, right?
Wow.
Because you don't eat with the help. So now it puts, and I want to just say this, Joseph put himself in a position, really, of isolation. Because he was. He's been raised now by Egyptians since he was 17. He's been in the Egyptian camp, and yet he didn't become Egyptian.
Oh, right.
Even though Pharaoh gave him now an Egyptian name, mm-hmm. he did not become Egyptian. So he still does not eat with the Egyptians, but he's not going to eat with the Hebrews either, because he's concealing his identity at this point. So you get the picture. You got the Egyptians eating over here. You got
right.
Joseph and his brothers eating over here. And then you've got Joseph eating in a separate spot.
Right.
Keep going.
Chapter 44, silver cup and a sack. Now Joseph gave these instructions to the steward of the house. Fill the men's sacks with as much food as they can carry, and put each man's silver in the mouth of his sack. Then put my cup, the silver one, in the mouth of the youngest one's sack, along with the silver for his grain. And he did as Joseph said. As morning dawned, men were sent on their way with their donkeys. They had not gone far from the city when Joseph said to his steward, "Go after those men at once. And when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid good with evil? Isn't this the cup my master drinks from and also uses for divination? This is a wicked thing you have done.' When he caught up with them, he repeated these words to them. But they said to him, 'Why does my lord say such things? Far be it from your servants to do anything like that. We even
okay,
brought
the 1 second. One second.
Sure.
I don't want to skip over.
Yeah.
This is the master's cup and is also used for divination.
Mm-hmm.
Did that strike anybody a little odd?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm going to say this. When you're raised in America, did I say America?
Yeah, you did.
When you're raised in Egypt, you scared us. We like, what's coming?
Well, pun on words.
I did that on purpose. Yeah. I'm not
yes.
kidding. When you're raised in America, you are exposed to so much, and we don't come out untarnished
yes.
from our environment. Joseph would not have had a cup of divination had he stayed in Canaan with his family. They did not practice divination.
Mm.
Which is?
Discerning the future. Sometimes it's through tea leaves in a cup. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's through a crystal ball. Sometimes it's through all these other manner of witchcraft is what we would
right.
call it. As a matter of fact, it's what it is. Okay, witchcraft. In other words, you're summoning other spirits to speak to you through means. Joseph, now, is there any point where the word talks about Joseph being unrighteous?
No.
It's that whatever his faults were, they're not even mentioned anymore. I mean, him
right.
being a little insensitive to his brothers, okay. That's more immaturity. And tattling, more immaturity. But they don't mention it. And that's because all of us come that are born into these corrupt environments, we come out tainted. You can talk to a young person 20 years old or 25 or under, and they will never have even known that it's against God's laws not to be married. They're raised in an environment these days where people just live together.
Yeah.
You try it out. You see if it works out. Every movie you watch, they try it out. They see if it works out. Scenes open up with the couple, you know, in bed, and then they're talking about getting married. And so many people or people are so indoctrinated by a sinful environment that they may never know the difference. I did a play at a church once, and in this play, the woman was talking about this guy she's been living with, and they've been together about 5 years, and this, that, and the other. And her name was Chancy, and the person trying to minister to her, her name was Grace. And Grace, in the process of a short conversation, just mentioned, you know, that you need to get married. I mean, that marriage is important. Long story short, a couple from the pastor told me that a couple came up after and said, is that true what she said?
Wow.
Is there something wrong with the fact that me and this guy, and they were big contributors. The guy was a very big contributor to the church, so I knew that was a moment for the pastor. Because
wow.
he never talked about sin like that. But I did. Give me the I'm back. So they asked the pastor, is this true what she said? That we're living in sin? That this is a sinful lifestyle? And the pastor said, yeah, what she said is correct. And then the pastor mm-hmm. came back and told me, he said, I'm just surprised, Jeanette, that they didn't know that.
Hmm.
Well, the world doesn't know that. The world gets their theology through TV.
Right.
Their belief system is coming from what's accessible. That 9-year-olds have, you know, relationships. They're filtering this, you know, perverse mindset all the way down to children into cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's what you sit in front of, and mom and dad don't know anything about God, they don't go to church. They don't know anything about any of it. They don't even own a Bible. So now let's go back to Joseph. Joseph's being raised in Egypt from the time he was 17. I know we've all seen how much college really affects a person, shatters people's, you know, foundational beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people come back from college and don't you know, were raised in the church and don't want any part of God anymore.
Yeah.
From all these, the wisdom of this world.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine Joseph, where is he getting anything to help him stay, you know, grounded in the teachings of his fathers?
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody there. He's in Egypt. So for him to have a cup of divination shouldn't be a big surprise.
Mm.
So what I'm saying, Christians, young people, older people, be patient. Be patient when you have become called out of the world yourself and you're saved, and then you run into people who are living this way, that way, and the other. Be patient. Understand, they're raised in this.
Amen.
Be patient. Be kind.
Yes.
Teach with love,
yes,
not with condemnation. I'll see people attack stupid stuff. Woo, wow, uh-oh. Woo, you got tattoos? Do you know that the Bible said you're not supposed to have tattoos? Well, is this the time to talk about that?
Right.
The person already has the tattoos, for starters. And thank God we're not living under the law.
Amen.
Because if we could have kept the law, then we would have kept the law. So we can't keep the law. And so by the time you meet some person, they could be tatted up from their scalp all the way to their feet.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make those things the issues. You hear him mention the cup which was used for divination. You don't hear anywhere else that that's an issue.
Right.
Don't make issues where they shouldn't be. Just tell people what the truth is and let them find it. Let them wonder why you're leading that example.
Mm-hmm.
You be a living testimony of the right way. Keep going.
Verse 8. We even brought back to you from the land of Canaan the silver we found inside the mouths of our sacks. So why would we steal silver or gold from the master's house? If any of your servants is found to have it, he will die, and the rest of us will become my lord's slaves. Very well then, he said. Let it be as you say. Whoever is found to have it will become my slave. The rest of you will be free from blame. Each of them quickly lowered his sack to the ground and opened it. Then the steward proceeded to search, beginning with the oldest and ending with the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this, they tore their clothes. Then they all loaded their donkeys and returned to the city. Joseph was still in the house when Judah and his brothers came in, and they threw themselves to the ground before him. Joseph said to them, "What is this you have done? Don't you know that a man like me can find things out by divination? What can we say to my lord?" Judah replied. "What can he say? What can we say? How can we prove our innocence? God has uncovered your servant's guilt. We are now my lord's slaves, we ourselves and the one who was found to have the cup." But Joseph said, "Far be it from me to do such a thing. Only the man who was found to have the cup will become my slave. The rest of you go back to your father in peace." Then Judah went up to him and said, "Pardon your servant, my lord. Let me speak a word to my lord. Do not be angry with your servant, though you are equal to Pharaoh himself. My lord asked his servants, 'Do you have a father or brother?' And we answered, 'We have an aged father, and there is a young son born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only one of his mother's sons left, and his father loves him.' Then you said to your servants, 'Bring him down to me so I can see him for myself.' And we said to my lord, 'The boy cannot leave his father. If he leaves him, his father will die.' But you told your servants, 'Unless your youngest brother comes down with you, you will not see my face again. When we went back to your servant, my father, we told him what my Lord had said. Then our father said, go back and buy a little more food. But we said, we cannot go down only if the youngest brother is with us will we go. We cannot see the man's face unless our youngest brother is with us. Your servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. One of them went away from me, and I said, he was surely been torn to pieces, and I have not seen him since. If you take this one from me too, and harm comes to him, you will bring my gray head down to the grave in misery. So now, if the boy is not with us when I go back to your servant, my father, and if my father, whose life is closely bound up with the boy's life, sees that the boy isn't there, he will die. Your servants will bring the gray head of our father down to the grave of sorrow. Your servant guaranteed the boy's safety to my father. I said, if I do not bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before you, my father, all my life. Now then, please, let your servant remain here as my Lord's slave in place of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. How can I go back to my father if the boy is not with me? No, do not let me see the misery that will come of my father. Continue.
One more verse.
Sure. Joseph makes himself known. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph
Stop right
said
there.
To...
Stop there.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to see what happens here. And this is Judah. Judah steps up. Remember that Reuben, the firstborn, said when they first came back, Dad, something happened. You can kill my sons.
Right.
And we said, boy, that's a great option. If something happens to Benjamin, then you can kill your grandchildren. I mean, how's
right.
that helping? But Judah steps up and now offers his life
right.
for his brother. And that is the breaking point for Joseph.
Mm.
Just as Jesus laid down his life for us,
right.
Judah is willing to lay down his life for his family, for his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when God steps in.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph can hold it no more.
Yeah.
And he reveals to them, I am Joseph. But by the time all of this happened, Joseph's heart, there was, keep going, Exandra, we got a few more minutes.
Okay, sure, no problem. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come closely to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For two
Stop.
Years now.
Stop for 1 second. Do you
sure.
hear what he is saying? The brothers
mm-hmm.
are saying, he's saying, you guys sold me, but you didn't sell me.
Right.
God sent me.
Right.
I want you to see that a lot of times we perceive things so wrongly.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're sitting there holding some grievance. Say, for example, he's holding this grievance against the ones who sold him and doesn't recognize they didn't sell me. God sent me.
Mm-hmm.
I want you in your lives to begin to recognize God's hand more clearly. You find yourself in some situation and you're quick to say, oh, this person messed me up. Mm. This person got me fired. God's moving you.
Amen.
God's moving you.
Right.
And he uses all kinds of circumstances in our lives to get us positioned for what
yes.
he has for us to do.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, God allowed this to happen. Oh, this happened. That happened. They did this to me. They did that to me. This guy caused me to lose my job. Who has that power in your life?
Amen.
If God is the one who is orchestrating your life and he's guiding and directing you, even if you don't understand it, that's
yes.
why I say, and I say again, rejoice.
Amen.
Rejoice when something happens, whether it looks good to you or not. Because
Amen.
He said, all things work together for the good of those
Amen.
That love
Amen. Hallelujah.
Is his
word Hallelujah.
Come back, boy?
Yes.
It'll never come back void. So no matter what it looks like, rejoice. And again, I say
Hallelujah.
Rejoice.
Amen.
Look at Joseph's life. But he is now at a point. He finally gets to this point, and he, instead of harboring all this bitterness, well, they stole me, and I was in prison. And he had good reason to be bitter. Let's not downplay that.
Sure.
I end up sold. I end up first thrown into a freaking pit.
Yeah.
Think I'm going to die there. Then, oh, you're so compassionate. You think I'm worth a little bit of money, so you sell me to some what now?
Right.
And I end up on a block bought by somebody. Now I'm in slavery. Now I'm in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of you guys. But instead, he sees the bigger picture because God has brought him through. And not only has God brought him through, but God has brought him through faithfully.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Joseph remained faithful too. Not just God was faithful to Joseph, but Joseph remained faithful. He's still
yes.
given God glory in prison.
Yes, yes.
So what I'm saying is sometimes we got to recognize, like Joseph
mm-hmm.
recognized, what a pivotal moment for him. You guys are so afraid. Come. Come closer. I know you're
mm-hmm.
terrified. Don't have to be. I know you guys sold me, but you didn't really sell me. God sent me. God sent me. This is going on in our lives all the time. Some of us feel relieved with the outcome of this election. Some of us feel more fearful with the outcome of this election.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember, God's in control.
Amen.
Amen. You just stay on your path. I'm going to
there
say
it
this.
Is.
Nobody's going to like it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Spiritual wickedness is in high places, and I don't care what name is on it.
Yes.
It's still spiritual wickedness in high places. The prince of this world is doing all he can, and he uses people in power to do it.
Amen.
But at the end of the day, God says, I appoint the kings of the earth.
Come on now.
Now, how many kings of the earth, if we start flipping through this Bible, are we going to find were wicked?
Yes.
Many kings of the earth have been wicked. God's using them. Just the same. He knows what he's doing. What the brothers did to Joseph was what? Wicked.
Mm-hmm.
But God was using it for his own purpose. Oh, what a day when we can recognize that in our lives.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, I'm all the way in this state, and I don't even know what I'm doing here, and I can't this, and I can't that. God brought me here.
Amen.
Yes, yes.
I don't have a house that's my own anymore. God brought me here. What does God
Amen.
Have in mind? I don't know. He's given me a vision.
Amen.
He told me what to do, but I'm walking in faith.
Yes.
It looks like calamity if anybody was looking at me. They'd say, calamity has struck her. She went from, living very comfortably in Florida, and now calamity has knocked on her door. Praise be to God, whatever
Amen.
You're doing, Lord. Praise be to God.
Yes.
if that's what it takes to help me become a usable tool in your hand.
Yes. Amen.
All right. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Yes,
thank
Lord,
you, Alexander, for reading today.
Thank
you, everyone. That is
thank you, everybody.
Call.
Yes, bless you guys. Thank you.
Any prayer requests or comments or questions?
Thank you. That was so beautiful.
It was. I rested. I finally rested in God just from hearing her reading. Thank you, Lord.
I know. Yes. Amen. Amen.
In the closing prayer, dear Heavenly Father, I'm asking for your anointing to fall on each person on this call. I'm asking you, Lord, to let your word come alive in them.
Yes,
I'm
Jesus.
Asking you, Lord, to let your work be done through your word in them.
Yes,
I'm asking you, Lord, that you will prepare them to be all that you need them to be so that you can use them, for the harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. I ask you, Lord, that you give us an ability to see you past our circumstances,
yes, God.
Above our circumstances, in charge of our circumstances.
Yes, Lord.
Praise your holy name.
Bless you, Lord. Bless your
praise
name.
Your holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise your holy name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh,
thank you, Lord.
Let it rain, Lord Jesus. On each and every one, wherever
thank
they are,
you,
let it rain. Let your
in the name
Holy
of Jesus.
Spirit
bless your name, Lord.
Rule
thank
and
you,
rain
Jesus.
In their lives. Fill them, Lord.
We thank you.
Jesus.
We are the righteousness of God
you,
through Christ
God.
Jesus, Lord. We thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank
yeah,
you, Jesus. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes.
Have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful week.
Everybody, peace be with you.
All right,
Bible
you too.
Study.
I'll speak with you shortly, Miss Jeanette.
All righty.
Have a good day, Jeanette.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bible study.
Oh, thank you. Glad you were on it.
All right, talk to you later.
Alrighty.
Bye.